God's people said, amen. Today, Vision 2023, when you come in the Worship Center and Family Life Center next Sunday morning, you'll be handed a document, Vision 2023-24. There'll be a letter in there, goals for you to achieve in 2023 and 24. But today, I want to kick it off by turning to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to go into several passages of Scripture as we talk about the future, if the Lord should linger, of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Go with me back to the year 1982. That's before most of you were born. There were no bag phones. My parents had a bag phone I had to turn in after they died, and the AT&T store clerks did not know what that was. This, for those of you younger, it was a boat anchor for their large automobiles, their Buicks and Oldsmobiles. There were beepers. If you were on call, you would get a beep if you were a doctor or a manager. Computers were in Fortran. We had to write our own programs for our computers. 1982, Steve Jobs had what he called the Macintosh vision. He called a meeting of 50 of his employees outside Monterey, California. And he said, "I want to share with you a vision that I have." And he had a difficult time trying to explain it to his employees that it's going to be a consumer product that's going to change the future of the entire world. Some of his employees were frustrated because they'd been working on this vision that Steve Jobs had for a long time. So finally, one of his employees raised their hand and said, "Let's do some consumer research and find out what people want in the area of computers." And Steve Jobs said this. He said, "I'm not doing that. No research, because customers don't know what they want until we show it to them." He then pulled out something that looked like a desk diary and opened it up. It was a mock-up of what he envisioned for the future. It was a keyboard hinged to a screen. 1982. And he said this when he presented it. "This is my dream of what we'll be making in the mid to late 1980s. So before the historic Macintosh even launched, he was picturing a futuristic laptop computer. The man who wrote his biography, Walter Isaacson, said this. "They were building a company that would invent the future. Leadership debates could be certainly had over Jobs' perception of people's desires. But there's a lot of truth to his assessment that people often don't understand what they want until you show them. Like the old saying, I'll know it when I see it." Vision is a way of painting a picture so that people will have direction. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Now, here's one of the most dreaded questions a pastor is ever asked when there is no vision and he's cast no vision for his church. A church member comes up to the pastor and says, "Where are we headed as a church?" And he has no answer. I watched some of the high school football playoffs last year. I'll be honest with you, I was heartbroken for Cedartown High School. Some of you may have watched that game. It was played in a torrential rain. Cedartown was trailing, and finally, as they played Benedictine in the second half, they finally caught up 14-13. They were back to kick the extra point. I mean, there was a deluge coming down. I don't know how they could plant the ball for him to kick, but when he did, it hooked far left, not even close to the goalpost. that disheartened the Cedar Town football team, but I want you to know they got the ball back with 3 minutes left in the game. Cedar Town drove all the way down to the 24-yard line of Benedictine, fourth down, 24 yards to go for a touchdown. 10 seconds left on the clock, and the coach had to make a decision. Since our kicker just missed an extra point in this storm, do we try to kick a field goal and win this game by 2 points? The head coach, the offensive coordinator, decided the best percentage play was to try for a touchdown. And they came up short, losing 14-13. Every football team has an offense, and the offense has one goal, and that's to get across the goal line and score as many points as possible. So today I want to talk to you about the goals for the future of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. First of all, there's a church in Luke 19:13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said, "Occupy until I come." You remember that parable Jesus is talking about a lord or a master, and he gives his servants so many talents, and he says, "Now I want you to multiply this until I come back and get it." He wanted his money back with interest. He said, "Occupy till I come." In other words, do business until I come back to collect what I have given you plus interest. We have an occupation as a church. We're to occupy until Jesus comes again. And we're not to occupy a seat. We're supposed to be in the business of kingdom world building. That word "to build" there implies it takes work. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in and watch in vain." Those are wise words from Solomon. It is the Lord who builds, but he uses laborers like you and me to do his kingdom work. I love Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." When you look at the name Peter, that's Petros. That means a little stone. The church is not built on Peter. There's no successor to Peter. He is a little stone involved in kingdom building. But you look a little further in that verse and you'll see Jesus is referred to as Petra, which means a huge stone. He is the cornerstone. So the huge stone, the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, uses us small stones to help build his church here on this earth. But here's the beautiful part. We're like Petros, Peter, little stones that make up the building. I read a mission statement the other day of another church, and I like it. To bring the good news and love of Jesus to our community, cultivating hope, faith, wholeness, and spiritual maturity. Our staff has been praying and seeking God's wisdom to share some goals with you for our future. We'll start with Kathy in children's ministry. The babies and the children. Here's what she says is our mission. PVS Kids has a deep love for children and a passion to see them come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, here's the vision. To guide children to faith in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. To prepare them to serve God, to love other people, to help them grow in their knowledge and understanding of Scripture. I can promise you, when you bring your children here, they receive biblical instruction. She also wants us to have a play place for them between the Family Life Center and our offices out here. I've been here 25 years and we have never had a playground for our children. She wants a special place that's reserved for them to do small group, D-Life groups. She also wants the children's Sunday school attendance to increase by 15% a year from now on, and Wednesday nights by 10%. She said, we'll seek to maintain contact with all the children who attend any PVS Kids activities and to provide a minimum of 3 community-wide events per year. And the rest of her story will be given to you next week. We go to our youth and student fusion, and there we have Eric doing a great job. He said, the D-Life groups are going to be a real catalyst to get into the schools to start reaching more teenagers. He says, we have special events on Sunday nights. You have to have special events on Sunday nights because guess what? Our schools have started playing their baseball, football, and basketball games on Wednesday nights, which hurts your attendance. I heard the other day that Little League has Wednesday night games, but if the game is canceled because of rain, they now have indoor dry practice facilities. So if they don't play the games, they practice indoors and they won't be here for discipleship. Also want you to know that Eric has everything planned through December the 31st. He has every message in the hands of the teenagers and the parents, the titles and the text of everything he's teaching. They're already booked to go to Arlington, Texas to help with a special ministry there. And he said, I want to average 50 teenagers in Sunday school, which he's almost there already by 2023, by the end of the year. But I think he'll be averaging 70 to 75 by the end of 2024. He said, on Wednesday nights, we're averaging 40, but he says, we want that to go even further. And then he said, our mission trips, we want 40 or more going on that. But as it grows, you'll see more and more kids going there. The other thing he has done, he's changed our format. You come in on Wednesday nights and you eat and play for 30 minutes. And then he does a 25 minute intense discipleship message so your kids will grow in Christ. And then Ted is the minister of education. He has all kinds of meetings to equip our leaders. He wants every class to have an outreach leader, a fellowship director. He wants you to have the missions leaders, the fellowship leaders, the group leaders, because the teachers can't do it all. He's got 3-4 more equipping sessions that he's given me dates for. He wants to reach an average attendance of 350 by the end of this year. And by the end of 2024, he wants our Sunday school growth to be 375. Well, I want to share this with you, and I hadn't shared it with the staff. We're going to have a special day in August. It's going to be a high attendance day in Sunday school. And I think we're going to have 450 in Sunday school, and we're going to have 600 here in worship. On the day we burned the note, we had 530 people in worship. The most we've had since COVID. It's time to walk away from COVID as an excuse. Satan has used that, allowed by Christians in their lives, long enough. So if we have to burn the pulpit instead of a note, we'll get 600 people here on that day when we have high attendance. And then poor Ted, he's in charge of the facilities. If there's a toilet running over before the service is over, they're coming to get Ted, bless his heart. If the place needs to be painted, the heat and the air conditioning's broken down, that's all his job. But then I want you to know we are hosting in September EQUIP. EQUIP is the annual association meeting where 500 people are going to be coming from churches from all over our association from 3 to 9 o'clock. They're going to have breakout sessions. They're going to use almost every room in this building. We're going to have to feed all 500 of them. And then Mike Stone is coming to preach at the night worship. I want you to know that I've been here 25 years and the association has never asked to use this facility for their annual meeting. When they called, I said, yes, we'll do it. And Ted will be glad to organize and host you. then evangelism and missions. D-Life. Richard wants to have, by the end of the year, 16 D-Life groups. Now, what are those? Those are small groups. We've already got 8. You know what we're doing? We're planting those small groups in your neighborhoods where you live. And then you're inviting people over for Bible study. And it's not going to be anything. It's going to be reading the Bible and just discussing what you're doing. Believe me, you can reach your neighbors for Christ doing this. So he wants 16 of those by the end of the year. He also wants to involve at least 50 people in helping hands. We've got 25 already. They're the ones that come in when we have a disaster relief. Those are the ones who go to a widow's house that can't afford landscaping and lawn care, and they go over and take care of that. They go and clean a widow's house that can't afford a housekeeper, and she's not able to do that herself. The other thing he wants to do is fill 3,000 of the Operation Christmas Child boxes. We did 1,000 last year. The most we've ever done is 2,400. But this coming year, we want to do that for 3,000 children to get the gospel out worldwide. And then he's going to provide an opportunity for you to take a witnessing class before the end of the year. He wants to enlist and train at least one outreach and missions leader for every Sunday school class and baptize at least 25 this year. Well, I disagree with that. I want to baptize 50 this year. And we got a little down payment this morning. I was given some cards to call from the sportsman banquet, and one old boy had checked that he accepted Jesus as Savior, and after I told him who I was, he hung up. And so, you know what I did for that gentleman? I wrote him a handwritten letter. Congratulations on trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Love to talk to you about your baptism. Enclosed, I have a gift for you. I gave him one of those Tony Evans Kingdom Men 365-day devotions, and I hope to hear from you soon. But you know what else I heard? I called one man. He said, man, my 11-year-old got saved. Thank you for calling and following up. Let me put my 11-year-old on the phone. And both of us were on the phone. I said, I want to give him a discipleship book. We want to talk to him about coming to church and being part of our fellowship here, and you as well. Then he told me he owns a pizza company here in town. The dad did. And he said, next time y'all do one of these sportsman banquet, I want to give you all the pizzas you want. I didn't tell him we don't serve pizza at the sportsman banquet, but we'll take his pizza, freeze them, and heat them for the teenagers later on. So I've called lots of those, and I get positive responses. Thank you for following up. And then we're also maintaining our partnership with Ukraine. And then we're also looking for another international place where we can send people directly there. And guess what? Richard has got 25 local mission projects that he wants to do this year, not only to help people, but try to win people to Christ. And then senior adults, you say, well, I'm retired. I'm just hanging around for the prime timers trips. When I came here over 25 years ago, there was an old gentleman named Bill White who always stood in front of the chapel. He had bulletins in his hand. That dude must have been 80 years old. He was out there early before anybody came. He was handing out bulletins and greeting people and helping them get where they needed to go. And I thought, if he's 80 plus years old and he can do that, undoubtedly we're not supposed to retire from total Christian service. And I want you to know that I had the privilege to do his funeral, but it was such a tragic ending. I got a call one afternoon. He had one of those little red antique Farmall tractors. And it had turned over on him. And when they found him under the tractor was still running. But you know where he was the Sunday before? He was outside the chapel, greeting people and giving them bulletins, telling them, I'm so glad you chose to come to church. Listen, you've raised your children. Now you're running carpool for your grandchildren. That's your fault. But there's still time for you to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords beyond your family. Your children have hooked you in on that carpool. You just didn't see it coming. And then families. We're going to have events that will help strengthen marriages and also to strengthen your parenting skills. I love Malachi 4, 5, and 6. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He'll turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Our secular society, mainly through the media and electronic devices, are trying to convince us that there is something besides a man and a woman that is the definition of marriage. Now, you can ram that down my throat all you want to, but I spit it right up into your face. Here we stand upon the Word of God, one man, one woman, till death do us part. And we're going to stick with the First Amendment, and that which guarantees us the right of religious freedom. As long as I'm breathing and I'm your pastor, that is where we're headed. Now listen to me carefully. Your children and your grandchildren are being taught, even in some of our schools, that this biblical model is not true. Young lady in our church got a parapro job. Went to school the other day, and a 3-year-old special needs boy was brought to school in a pink dress. Then they found out that the mother of this little boy is having a sex change. And she is daring that parapro to say anything about her dressing the little boy in a pink dress. Children's Health Care of Atlanta has built a whole wing. Monday through Friday, you can take your infant through 16-year-old without their consent and have their sex changed. Georgia Baptist tried to get a law to prohibit that, passed through our state legislature. We could not get it out of committee. And the reason was Children's Health Care hired lobbyists to make sure that that ban on sex change on minors could not even get a hearing, much less a vote in the House and in the Senate. Then the unborn. Since Roe versus Wade, I want to share some numbers with you, and I'm talking not just our nation, I'm talking worldwide here. You may want to write this down. Since Roe versus Wade, way back, was approved, 1.5 billion abortions have been done worldwide. Last year, worldwide, we had 41 million abortions. That's almost 800,000 per week, 113,000 per day. That's about 4,700 per hour, 7,800 per minute. Look at your watch, at your second hand, that's 1 to 2 every second worldwide. The Holocaust really happened. The Nazis killed 6 million Jews. We have now killed so many babies worldwide, it would be the equivalent of 250 Nazi Holocausts. We're going to continue to support Missions Georgia. You say, what is that? That's a part of the Georgia Baptist Convention. We've got a lady named Beth Ann Williams who's spearheading that. I was in a committee meeting in Macon last Tuesday, and she gave a report. I don't know if you know this. We partnered with a company that's rescuing ladies out of slave trafficking in Atlanta. Not only are we doing that, we're giving them the gospel. Not only that, we've partnered with another group, and we're building tiny houses for these ladies that we're rescuing. We're providing them an education, getting them a job, and showing them a new way of life. We're going to keep giving money to Missions Georgia. And the other day, she had her first seminar for ladies who had had an abortion. Had huge attendance. Shared the gospel with them, let them know it wasn't the unforgivable sin, told him about repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And at the end of the seminar, guess what they did? They held a memorial service for every one of the babies that had been aborted by the participants in this event. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue supporting Missions Georgia. We're going to continue to support Haven Healthcare here in our town. Don't be against something and not be willing to be a part of the solution. Then our music ministry seeks to lead people to a closer walk with the Lord through worship. Ladies and gentlemen, we have children's choirs again. We have some fantastic leaders, but not many children are coming because they don't have a driver's license yet. But some of the parents say, well, that's just an inconvenient time on Sunday evenings, and you don't have anything for us where our children are there. Yes, we do. We have D-Life groups. You can come in and study the Word of God with people that are your age and a little older and a little younger while your children are in children's choir, because what you've been doing in the past is going to Kroger and Walmart while they're in children's choirs anyway. Might as well learn something spiritual while your children are here. We got some events where the children's choirs will be singing with our adult choir and also with our orchestra. We want to increase the number in our choir. When COVID hit, we were running about 80 to 82 in our choir. Now we run an average of about 40. When we burnt the note, we had 52 here. I'd like to see us add 15 or 20 more people to the choir. I want to share with you there's going to be a lot of music coming up towards Easter that you don't want to miss. And also, we're going to have a Christmas musical again this year. And then Camp Kirkland, some of you remember him. Bill King plays in his orchestra. They play nationwide. They have offered to come here and do a concert for free this year. That's my favorite kind of concert from out of town. And then I want you to know that our praise band is going to be recruiting more members over there. And then they want to help with some younger talent. And then they want to help Eric start a praise band. And you know what? They got their first instrument. Eric knows how to play the bongos. So we've already got the bongos. We just need some other instruments and some people who know how to sing. And they're going to have some more training. And also our praise band is going to be involved in some community concerts, outreach outside the walls of this church. And then our orchestra. Bill King gets up here and plays a solo on Wednesday night. His carotid arteries get this big around. I've told him, I said, if you pass out and it takes mouth to mouth, you're going to glory. I'm not going to bring you back, brother. And so he's going to expand the orchestra. He wants to run about 30 every Sunday morning. Don't you appreciate the orchestra? They're just outstanding, along with our choir and Miss Miriam and our praise band. But then he said, I'm going to go to middle schools and high schools, and I'm going to talk to some of those that are in the band and ask how many of you would like to come and help lead worship service with us. And then he's going to start a beginner's orchestra. And he said the church is going to buy the instruments because they're very expensive, and I'm going to get them involved. And then he said we're going to restart the handbell ministry as well. Then we talk about our community in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number how often? Daily. That's normal, natural, right? Those who were being saved. We need a church here for all generations. There's some churches in town right now that are targeting people 25 to 40 years old. That is not biblical. Jesus' church is for all ages, all races, all cultures, all social and economic categories. And that's what we got to have. Now, I'm not picking on children and teenagers. This has to do with parents mainly. I want you to know that in the Pepperell school system alone, there are 2,000 students. Do you know how many of those students actually are connected with a church home? Roughly 400 to 450. I have mentored in the elementary school and sat down with a child and said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And you know what he said? Who is he? This is not a third world country. This is a country that's turned away from God in the homes. This is in your own neighborhood here. You know, if we were to run 50 or 60 in our youth group, which we're running close to 50 now, what do you think other churches are running? We're not touching the hem of the garment, reaching our preschool, our primary, elementary, middle school, and high school students in Rome, Georgia. It's a sad indictment on our churches. What about your neighbors? Have you told anybody about Jesus? I had some new neighbors move in from Michigan. I have to learn another language to communicate with David across the street and his wife. So when they moved in, I took them dinner, took them the gospel, Steps to Peace with God, took them some brochures. He said, yeah. Said, the lady that sold this house to me said, you're a preacher. I said, well, does that make me poison ivy? And he said, well, she said you will invite me and share Christ with me, but then you won't ever bother me again. I said, that would be correct. Now he don't even wave at me when he goes to the mailbox. I don't know what the deal is, but you know, I'm hoping my neighbor comes to know Christ. When's the last time you shared with your neighbor? And then come in generations. You've got the baby boomers. You've got next gens. It's great to be debt free. We'll pass that on to the next generation. But I want you to know over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a huge staff change here at Pleasant Valley South. Kathy's getting old. And Mark is right behind her. Isn't that right? That's exactly, I told the truth. But look around at the age of your staff. We're not going to be able to prop up here forever. And I know that's, you're, some of you saying, amen, the sooner the better, or come Lord Jesus, either one of them. I walked up to somebody this week and they said, man, how are you liking your retirement? I said, what are you talking about? I'm working 13 days straight right now and been to three funeral homes. And he said, well, somebody told me you retired. I said, well, we burnt the note, but they didn't burn me yet. But there's going to be a change. And it's going to take patience and it's going to take prayer on your part. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in meetings every month with pastors from all over this state. And I hate to tell you, and it's not all of them because we got some good next gen ministers, but many of them have gone woke. And they get up in our meetings and they spout this stuff off. And they're not going to allow American flag in your church. They say it's divisive. They say that in our meetings. They're not going to let you do a patriotic service in your church. Many of them are five-point Calvinists. They believe that it's predetermined whether you're going to heaven or hell before you were ever born. And I look at them and say, do you have children? They say, yeah. I say, well, which one's going to heaven and which one's going to hell? I don't have an answer yet. But here's what they do when you ask them, are you a five-point Calvinist or are you Reformed theology? Here's their answer. I preach the Bible. And the next thing you know, you're going to have a preacher in your pulpit that has ditched evangelism and missions because they believe in the frozen chosen. Your pre-programs whether you're going to heaven or hell before you're ever born upon the face of this earth. You're going to be surprised about what their attitude is about participating with alcohol and drugs and living together and same-sex marriages. I mean, you're not going to be able to put them under an MRI machine to figure out what they believe and what they're going to practice when they come to be your leader, whether it's their pastor or it's missions or it's business administrator or in the music department or in youth or in children. You just have no idea. So you need to begin praying about that now. What are we doing about reaching people? Last year, I shared with you that Delaney and I went to my sister's house in Augusta for the Masters. We went down on Tuesday because I needed to do some business with my sister and some business with Delaney on Wednesday, going to the Masters on Thursday. I got the type A flu on Wednesday. I was bedridden until Monday morning. I didn't go to any Masters. I couldn't even sit up Thursday and Friday to look at the television. But on that Friday, I told you that Delaney and Anna Marie went to the Masters for a little while, and when they left about noon, my sister had a text, "Are you all right?" from one of her neighbors. Said there was an ambulance in my sister's driveway. There were fire trucks next door. And they called me and woke me from asleep. I said, "I'm fine." If you remember what I told you, what happened was next door, 50-year-old young man, father of four, had been told he had the shingles. And so he sent his wife and three of his boys to Hilton Head for spring break, kept his 16-year-old at home, and that Friday morning, Mr. Poteet dropped dead in his shower. That's the ambulances. That's the fire trucks that were present. I never heard anything. Ashley is now raising four boys from 5 years old to 17 by herself. Let me tell you what she did the other day. She's concerned about the salvation of the senior adults that live next door to her on the other side from my sister. Ashley said, I don't think they're saved and they don't go to church anywhere, but they got one granddaughter and she's hung the moon. Everything's about that granddaughter. So Ashley ordered a children's Bible study book. It's stories about Jesus from the Old Testament and New Testament, showing how the Old Testament stories point to Jesus and salvation. It came in one day. The next morning, she got up early. She didn't put on any makeup, ladies. The neighbors might not even recognize her. She put on a T-shirt, pair of slacks, and some running shoes. And she went next door, knocked on the door. Senior adult couple came to the door. She said, "Look, I know you love your grandchild. I have bought you a book of Bible stories you can tell your grandchild." They said, "Well, you know, we have a house full of about 20 people here, of relatives and friends that are visiting with us and spent the night. If this book is so good, why don't you just come in and sit down and read us all one of those stories about Jesus?" Wow. We have almost 100,000 people in Rome, Georgia. The Home Mission Board says 70% of the residents of Rome and Floyd County are not saved. Did you hear what I said? That's like 70,000. I've been thinking about what kind of goal we ought to have in evangelism. And I'm not a mathematician. Mr. Creole is right here. But if I gave you a 10-year goal of 1% of 70,000 people, that would be 700 people. What is that? That's 700 people that won't die and go to hell. Well, but think about this. The Lord Jesus expects us to give. The Old Testament, New Testament, we learn to tithe 10% of our gross income. Suppose we set a goal over the next 10 years. The goal, we're going to reach 1/10 of the lost people in Rome and Floyd County. That gives me 70,000 people times 10%, 7,000 people. But you see, we still haven't touched the hem of the garment. When you pass by a funeral procession in Rome and Floyd County or a new grave, 7 out of 10 of those people died and went to hell. Does that bother you? Sure bothers me. What kind of goal do you want to adopt? You say, well, God gives the increase. Well, listen, we've got to sow the seeds. Remember, we're the Petros. We're the little workers out here. We're the little pieces of the church. And there's no plan B coming. He's depending on you and me. I read the other day about two men. I can see my granddaddy doing this. Both of them had a block of wood. They were probably chewing Red Man, but it didn't say that in the story. I made that up. It's the only thing I lied about today so far. And they were both out whittling on the side of the road and watching cars go by. They whittled for hours. And when one man got through whittling, all he had was shavings. And when the other man got through whittling, same size block of wood, he had a wooden boat. You know what the difference was? The man that had shavings, he didn't have a plan. But the man that whittled out the boat, he had a vision. I don't want to be a part of a church that don't have a plan and a God-given vision. Do you have a plan? The only plan you're going to get is going to be from God. And He's counting on us to get the gospel to our community. It's my prayer that this church, when you get a new pastor one day, will quadruple. And this be seen in the year 2023 as just a little mission that was here compared to what it'll be 20 or 25 years from now. And it will be if you'll follow God's vision for His church. Will you join me in that commitment? Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed and eyes closed? Heavenly Father, thank You for meeting with us here today. And you know, we look at the numbers and look at how little we've done. And we just have to repent and confess that we're more concerned about ease, comfort, pleasure. Nothing wrong with relaxation and some ease, comfort, and pleasure. We're more concerned about family and friends and the bucket list than we're concerned about lost people. And then we look at ourselves and somebody was concerned enough to plant the seed of the gospel in us. We don't want to be found selfish. We want to be found faithful. Lord, I pray that You'd use us. Burn the vision for Your church into our minds and in our hearts so that we cannot rest until we're before You individually. And You'll be able to say honestly, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank You for the way You've blessed. I thank You for these children who wanted to be baptized after they trusted You as Savior. And Lord, what a great witness that is, an inspiration even to believers and a challenge to non-believers to trust You. Thank You for their stand. Help them to grow up to be spiritual champions for You in a very dark and perverted world. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to do so. Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, shed His blood, rose again, so that you might have a free gift of salvation. Whosoever calls on His name, invites Jesus in their heart, shall be saved. Maybe you've already been saved, need to be a candidate for baptism, you come. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home. You know, if I was a born again believer, Jesus returned, I believe I would want to be involved in a soul winning Bible believing church. I'd want to be found faithful and not ashamed. So if you prayed about it and God's given you peace, we invite you to come today. Lord, we just want to thank You in advance for the time of invitation, most important time in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Over in the Family Life Center, Eric and the Praise Band are coming forward. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, making your decision, he'll be at the Connect desk right after the service to meet with you. Ted's with me at the front today. If you have a decision you need to make or you need to know how to accept Christ, we invite you to come. You're uncomfortable with that? We'll be at the welcome desk in the Welcome Center right after the service. Maybe you have a prayer need. We'll take you to our office and be glad to minister to you. If you're watching us on your electronic device, go to 706-234-1841. Leave a message, and one of our staff members will get back to you as soon as possible. The praise band and Mark are leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.